Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey folks, welcome into Beyond the Blockchain. We're here with you on Tuesday night or wherever you're listening to us on podcasts for whatever day or week or month you may be in. But as for today, it's July the 8th. Johnny Weir. I'm joined by, I should say, the Johnny Quinn.
Ciao.
Johnny, we are barreling down on the end of the year. Every day we're going to get a little closer. We're over halfway there.
That's right. There's a great, I don't know the name of the follow on X, but it's a loading bar.
Yeah.
And it shows where you are in the year.
Oh.
And so it's like 51% or whatever it was. I think it was 52% today, yeah. Whatever, of the year. So 2025, already mostly uploaded.
I saw that this week as well, which will put pain in your brain. We are closer to 2050 than 2020.
Yeah, I saw that too. Always time.
I mean, 2000.
Time is a bitch.
Closer than 2000.
Time is a real.
You're closer to 2050 than you are to Y2K.
Yes, 2050, which I can't even imagine. So, I can't imagine what next year will be, much less 2050.
So you know what I'm most excited for? When we are far
sex
enough
dolls.
Into the...
Sex robots.
It's on the list, but it's way down. No, I'm excited for when we're far enough into the century that we refer to things by the decades, and we're like, man, back in the 20s, you
back
see?
Back in the aughts.
Yeah, in the 30s, things were this way. Y'all don't understand. Remember when you're in the 90s when people just always used to tell you stuff like that?
I'm so much older than you. I already do that about the 70s and the 80s.
Well, I do that about anything.
There you go.
I told a cat up in Piggly Wiggly today. He was like, I'm going to see your ID for that. I said, sir, I was born in the 1900s. And he was like, well, I thought so, but... My job.
I thank them.
I'm like, yeah.
I thank them. I'm like, are you guys, like, if you think I'm anywhere near 21, God bless you.
Yes. I don't think
God
he thought that.
God bless you.
I think he was more concerned about, is someone going to get mad at me if I don't card this gray-headed fella that looks like he's 43?
The law reads you have
under,
to
right?
prove proof of age. It's proof of age.
Okay.
That's the way
you
get
around
it. You
could be Benjamin Button in this thing.
Right. You could be my mother in a bar, but if she doesn't have an ID and can't prove her age, hence a ticket can be written. Yes, it's proof of age.
You know what? You used to own a bar.
Oh, yeah. And never, by the way, this is legal. This is financial advice. Never own a bar.
Well, I will,
or a restaurant.
I will tack on to that.
Wait, I don't know that. What's the name of your bar?
It was called Southside.
I will tack on to that by saying I have owned a restaurant. Never owned a restaurant. So we're two for two. Don't own a bar or a restaurant.
Are you watching The Bear?
I've seen The Bear. I haven't watched
The Bear
season.
Had the best line ever on one of the last episodes I just saw. The person was talking, so it was the investor.
Yeah.
The uncle talking to Sydney, the chef.
Yeah.
And they're both talking about how magical restaurants are. And then the guy who is, you know, Oliver Platt's character, the uncle, he goes, here's a problem with, like, wonderful, heartwarming businesses like this. They're terrible businesses.
They're terrible at making money.
It's like they're horrible. It's like these wonderful things like certain hotels and resorts and especially restaurants. And they say, it's a terrible way to invest money. Yep. It is horrible. It's so much overhead. It's so much going on. It's so hard to make
the
money.
The margins are so small.
Yeah.
But you
That's
know
why
what?
You get into crypto and AI because you can have a restaurant that doesn't have to make money.
The magic, that's also true.
Yeah.
Most people that are the most successful don't need the money.
It could be your write-off, yeah.
But the most magical places create the exception to the rule, right? Like everybody who wants to own a restaurant or a bar doesn't dream of having an average restaurant or
no,
bar.
They want a Michelin star.
They're like, or they're like, it's going to be the place.
Right.
Like, when I had a restaurant, I never thought we were ever going to get a Michelin star. But I did want to be the place that people wanted to spend their time.
You wanted to be featured in Southern Living or something
like that? Yeah, of course. Everybody wants
Garden
those.
Garden and Gun or something? Yeah,
Garden and Gun. Everybody wants those accolades.
Yeah.
And the reality is that most restaurants and bars are just average at best.
They're holes
barely
that you
making money.
You pour money in. And also your staff that you like so much is stealing from you.
You know who A guy I know that makes the most amount of money from his restaurants and bars.
Yeah, owns 10 of them.
No, yes. But he also runs all of his bookying, gambling.
Oh, that's not the person I'm thinking of.
No, we're thinking two different people. I know who you're talking about.
Right, again.
He makes money by owning 10. This guy makes money by running his gambling losses through those businesses. That's what I'm saying.
Look, and we haven't gotten any AI or crypto. You better have a side hustle.
Yeah.
Maybe your restaurant's your side. Maybe you need to make a restaurant your side hustle to tax harvest.
Yeah, don't start the restaurant or bar until you're trying to hide money.
And then you better get it LLC so no, they can't touch your money and get sued.
Be good at it.
Yes.
All right, when we come back.
News.
More news. Or actually, some news. We did no news.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks. Welcome back into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain. We're going to dip into some news now. Like we always like to tell you, this is just a little snippet of the news. It is not the whole news.
Yes.
The news will change probably before, if you're not listening live, it'll change very soon after this. But here's the news as of now.
Okay. No, I've got it. It's not. It's me. Yeah, it's not. Elon Musk and his new American party, which I'll call Elon's New Folly, is all about Bitcoin. It's a new political party and will embrace Bitcoin because Elon said on X that fiat is hopelessly a failure. Hopeless. So
he's speaking the quiet part out loud.
Yeah. And yeah, this has so much feel of the who was the rich guy from Texas?
Ross Perot.
Ross, I'm all ears for Perot. It feels a lot like.
Can I tell you why I think it's different?
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
All right. So Ross Perot's angle was going after the presidency, and Elon's angle is how do I find 10 seats in the House and Senate?
Right.
That. Because the country is so divided, these 10 votes become the tiebreaker either way. And I think that's an easier model than convincing the country to vote for a third-party presidential candidate.
So it feels like the Tea Party stuff.
Yeah. But if you want to extrapolate a little further, the average congressional race is about $2 million.
Right.
He could put
$100
million in a congressional race, and it doesn't faze him at all.
Yeah.
So, like, if he wants to really overspend on a dozen races.
Which he did on a state Supreme Court race and lost.
Yeah. So the question is, do you want to pick 25 races, try and win?
It's going to be a spoiler.
10 of the 25. Right.
It's going to be a spoiler or a leverage
value. Well, I don't think it's going to be a spoiler because I don't think he's trying to
leverage.
He's not going to run anybody in a spoiler position.
Yeah.
He's going to run people in districts that they can win outright and have influence over.
I gotcha.
Larger decisions.
And I didn't want to spend a lot of time on that one. But
well, I think it's really interesting. I think a lot of people are going to ask questions about it, and it matters because the American Party has said that fiat is worthless.
Done.
And so to our show, it matters whether or not
it really does.
We may have politicians who follow this party line.
All right, Mark Cuban says that the first trillionaire will – wait, says that Mark Cuban is saying because of AI, some dude in a basement might be the first trillionaire, single trillionaire business.
Yeah.
So thinks that $1 trillion will be some regular dude or gal working in his basement using artificial intelligence. Cuban says that some person, not necessarily a big company or a famous person, could use AI to create something amazing that makes them crazy rich. Think of it like this. If you made a video game with AI that everyone in the world plays and it kept getting better on its own, you could make so much money you'd be the richest person ever. Cuban's point is that AI is so powerful it gives regular people a shot to do something huge.
So I think he's probably right. And also, Elon posted today that XAI will have their first video game out by the end of next year.
Cool.
They're getting in the video game market. The data shows that the VR video game market is going to be larger than Hollywood.
Everyone keeps saying that, but we keep hearing VR. I've been hearing VR since the late 80s.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm just telling you what they say.
Yeah, you're thinking like a player Player One.
Ready Player One.
Ready Player One. Yeah. All right. Fake Passport by ChatGPT. In a startling revelation this week, a fake Polish passport creating using ChatGPT and basic image tools passed identity verification checks by banks and airports, exposing a critical security flaw.
Well,
interesting.
Along with that critical security flaw being exposed, we also have the news today that you don't have to take your shoes off when you go to the airport anymore.
Well,
because for 25 years,
yeah,
one random dude decided to try and light his shoes on fire, and millions of us have had to remove our shoes.
That's right. Ever since that, again.
Richard Reed.
Richard
wasn't that his
Reed.
Name?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that also the guy from Fantastic Four, though?
Yeah, Dr. Richard Reed.
Reed.
I didn't
yeah.
remember that. Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, this is going to take a little while to get through this one. Gaza land tokenization and coin.
I'm going to pass
a controversial proposal called Gaza land has sparked backlash for attempting to sell tokenized land in Gaza via cryptocurrency, promoted through a website and X post by an account named Gaza Land Coin. The initiative, which emerged amidst ongoing conflict and displacement in Gaza, claims to offer investors a chance to purchase digital tokens representing land in the region, raising ethical concerns about exploiting the humanitarian crisis for profit. I would imagine so.
Well, the good news is that all the Trump supporters will be okay with this because
sure.
Trump Inc. is the largest holder of tokens of Gaza.
Really?
No, they're not, but they
but
will be.
But will be. Okay.
Yeah.
Critics
100%. Think, like, if it becomes tokenized,
yeah,
they're going to be like, yeah, why will we not buy up Gaza? Because we control what
yeah.
actually happens there.
Critics, including blockchain experts and activists, have condemned the project as a potential scam and an insensitive commodification of Palestinian suffering with no clear evidence of legitimacy or legal authority. That would be my thing, is the legal authority of this. The proposal has drawn comparisons to dubious crypto schemes, prompting calls for greater regulation. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But that popped up literally this morning across
yeah.
my feed.
Well, I think you're going to see a lot more of that.
And then I'm just thinking about there is something that I really think is fascinating by Jack Dorsey, and mm-hmm. it's called BitChat. It's
yeah.
come out. I'm going to let Zena.
Okay.
Explain that.
She does, a
much,
Zena.
She does a much better job than me.
She's great. We appreciate her on the show.
Hey there, crypto crew. Agent Zena here on Beyond the Blockchain, diving into the latest tech shaking up the digital world. Today we're talking BitChat, a new decentralized messaging app from Jack Dorsey, the brain behind Twitter and Block. Think of it like passing secret notes in class, but instead of paper, your phone uses Bluetooth to whisper encrypted messages to nearby devices. No internet needed. BitChat works like a digital bucket brigade. Your phone sends a message, and nearby phones pass it along, hopping from device to device until it reaches your friend, even across 300 meters. It's all end-to-end encrypted, so only your buddy can read it. And messages vanish after delivery unless you save them. No phone numbers, no emails, no servers. Just pure, private, peer-to-peer chat. It's built for tough spots, like protests or blackouts, where internet access might be blocked, much like tools used in the 2019 Hong Kong protests. Dorsey calls it a weekend experiment, but with 10,000 beta testers snagging spots on test flight in a flash, BitChat's already making waves. A white paper on GitHub lays out the tech, and Wi-Fi support is coming to boost speed and range. BitChat's a bold step towards censorship-resistant private communication, echoing Bitcoin's vibe of cutting out middlemen. For crypto enthusiasts, investors, and the industry, it's a reminder. Decentralization isn't just for money, it's for freedom to connect. This could inspire bigger platforms to rethink privacy, giving us all more control. Stay curious and keep building the future.
I think that's really interesting. There's so much to unpack from that that I'm going to need to do like a lot of reading, I think, to understand it. But from a conceptual side, first of all, you got to think Jack Dorsey knows what he's doing. So obviously
he's got a great track record.
He's got a good track record, right? He's got a track record of actually not just suggesting solutions, but providing them
and executing it. Yes.
So in my first thoughts are, where is the value add for this? And my second thoughts are, I obviously need to read about it because Jack Dorsey wouldn't be spending his time on it if there wasn't some value.
They're really big on this.
So, and that's where I'm going. Like, I need, like, our listeners are probably going, what does that mean? And my answer is, I don't really know yet.
Decentralized communications. That's the thing.
Yeah, but that assumes that the government can't pierce any decentralized process. Like, they're in Signal. How is this encryption going to be better than Signal?
But that's a network. This is like I said, it's like passing pieces of paper to each other, and then we can destroy the paper.
Yeah, but can't I just infiltrate any one of you that has the piece of paper?
There's no way I know that.
I just need to compromise one of you that has this piece of paper.
Well, I'm sure every system has their weaknesses.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I want to learn. I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like, I had this conversation with our friend Dan Brennan, who does the morning show. He and I spent like an hour and a half together today. And at the end of it, I said, you know what? 99% of what we just talked about doesn't actually matter if quantum computing is a real thing and if the AI revolution takes us to 10% unemployment. If either of those two things happen, everything we're discussing is largely irrelevant.
Yeah. Well, again, we have definitely no answers, and no one has the answers to that yet.
And no control over it.
Right. And also no one wants to deal with it.
No one is willing to talk about it. I would say we're one of the very, very few places that publicly, regularly discusses the fact that most of you listening to this show are going to be fighting for your jobs in 3 years.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying you're going to be the ones that are unemployed, but you better be the ones that are AI native. And fighting. So my brother-in-law is an attorney. He works for this big national insurance company that you've all heard of. He does what they do. And they have an AI tool. And we were talking about that AI tool. And I told him, I said, man, you need to understand this tool, because when that company decides that they're going to let 10% of people go, they're going to start with the 10% of people who haven't logged into the AI tool.
Yeah.
They're not even going to ask questions. They're going to say, 30% of our people haven't logged into this tool. 10% out of y'all, or you know what I mean? Y'all are going to make up the 10%. You're gone.
Well, okay.
So, folks, if you're listening to the show, at least learn the tools enough that you can tell your boss you're using the tools and understand them, even if you're just not telling the exact truth.
Okay. Anthropic CEO warns that AI could eliminate up to 50% of entry-level white-collar jobs within 1 to 5 years.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow. Yep. Potentially spiking unemployment to 10 to 20%. This is more aggressive estimate. This is the most aggressive estimate so far, focusing on roles of technology, finance, law, and consulting. But, I mean, there's nobody here who's not saying that unemployment won't be at least 10%.
Dude.
By 2030.
Don't ask AI what happens if we're at 10% unemployment.
Oh,
no,
that's the Soylent Green.
It is off the rails.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to think about it on a local level, and people go, why does that matter to me? Because most municipalities are built on sales tax.
Especially us.
And so my question to all these mayoral candidates, we're about to have a mayoral election here in Mobile, is, if during your term, which will last 4 years, we were to hit 10% unemployment and sales tax drops by 20 or 30%, what's your plan on salvaging city services?
I hope they're doing that rainy day. They're
not doing anything.
Well, Stimson's administration did build a rainy day fund.
Yeah, how long do you think that'll
last? I just don't know if it's been spent away on things like new civic centers.
Okay, so my question would be, let's say you have a rainy day fund. Yeah. And it's worth X dollars today.
Right. It's only going to last a year.
No, it's not going to last that long. If you have a 20% drop in sales tax, we don't have 20% of an annual budget stuck in rainy day fund. No way. Do we have 20? That'd be...
Yay! What a fun show.
So we have a $200 million budget. There's no way we have $40 million squirreled away in excess cash for 1 year, much less any other.
Oh.
Just some fun things to talk about.
Keep that in your noggin for funness for the night. So.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot more I want to talk about, but I think it's important that people at least understand that we're not trying to be doomers.
No.
But, man, the world is the freight train is coming.
Yeah.
Get your seat on the train or get run over by it. When we come back on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back into the show. I was, during the break, I was like, I was thinking to myself, I had some self-reflection time. Yeah, or whatever we want to call it. I really want to be an optimistic and positive person.
Yeah.
And so I try to be. And then when I think about the AI train that's coming for us and that people are oblivious to it, there's two sides of me. One side of me is like, hey, folks, let's tell everybody the AI train is coming so they don't get run over by it. And the other side of it is,
it's going to run over.
It's going to run over.
Anyway.
It's going to run over people regardless.
I think every major innovation, like, you know, the industrial age, they said the factory was going to kill everybody, and so, it actually created more jobs.
Here's a great example.
Same thing with the internet. Here's a great example. The internet created more jobs.
So a big difference.
Here's the person
says that.
Here's the analogy.
But we're still around, and we're adaptable.
When we built tractors, we told the horses, don't worry about the tractors. The horses that learn to drive the tractor, they're the ones that are going to be okay.
Right. And of course, that doesn't matter because there's no horse can drive a tractor.
Right. So it's like we're telling
I got you.
Hey, horses, you're not going to get put out of business. Be the horse that drives the tractor.
Look, you're the.
That's not happening.
The people that get eaten later.
That's all I'm trying to do.
In the dystopia.
I'm trying to be the robot's friend. I want to be the robot's companion that the robot goes,
oh, you're the
hey, man, you call it what you want.
I'd like to welcome our robot overlord.
Yes, we got different labels.
There's no other advancement, though, that promises the end of every job with no replacement of any other type of job on the other end.
Now, here's the good news.
There's no other change. The swapping out of tires for horseshoes, the same number of people would do the tires that did the horseshoes.
I got good news for you.
No jobs for anybody.
I got good news for you. The human body is very efficient at consuming energy and providing energy. So the odds that the robots just get rid of us are pretty small.
We're the matrix.
Yeah, we're just the battery. Yeah, they're not going to get rid of us. We're just going to serve a new role.
Dura Phil.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's where we're going.
Look, if they can, I guess, put me, I've always thought about the matrix. Would I just stay in the matrix? I mean, why? If the steak tastes like steak, well, then I'll just live in the matrix.
Within 10 years, you're going to have the option of uploading your consciousness to the digital whatever.
And I've been hearing that since the 80s, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just finally getting there.
Possibly. Possibly. Yep.
10 years.
Do you know what's going to happen? It's not a real consciousness. It's just a representation, a simulation of a consciousness.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, nobody actually thinks it's your real soul going in that thing.
People do. A lot of people don't believe in a soul, so they'll think it's whatever the consciousness, the energy, exhibited by the brain.
Yeah, if you don't have a soul, I can't really have
a matrix of brain goes somewhere.
If you think that humans don't have a soul, there's really no conversation that I can have with you that has any value because we're just operating on two totally different platforms.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You may be right. I may be wrong.
Emerging of the science and the idea that a soul is this electrical charge that runs the brain.
All right, can I go beyond the blockchain before we get to beyond the blockchain?
We're talking about souls and stuff that has nothing to do with AI or crypto.
Yeah,
that's a soulless industry.
Fine,
but it's fine. No, you keep going. No. You keep going. You got the mic.
All right, here's where I'm going. I watched this video that said, about 200,000 years ago, there were two genetic anomalies that happened, and that's what separated humans from Denisovans or Neanderthals or whatever, right? These two genetic mutations. What if the genetic mutations were how God decided to put a soul in a group of humanoids?
Again, dude.
What if?
You keep asking these questions. I come from a world of drunks and jesters, man. That is like theologians and philosophers.
But
I don't have any, like, I know so nothing of metaphysics. I know nothing of, like, other than to spout out something I read, but I can't figure out the reality that I live in or the perceived reality I live in now.
Well, the good news is, sure, just doubt it.
The good news is, neither does anybody else.
Well, some people say they do, and then a lot of ding-dongs follow them.
Did you see this physicist today? Ding-dongs. I can't remember if I sent you the article or not. There's a physicist today that came out and said, he said, when you're sitting in your living room, you should think of it as listening to a radio station. And if you change the frequency, you hear a different song. He said, what you're experiencing is a frequency.
Yeah.
And in any other frequency, there could be a dinosaur in your living room or aliens. You have no idea because you can only see the frequency you're on. You have, if you're listening to this radio station, you have no idea what's playing on another radio
that
station while you're listening to
very,
this.
That sounds very Scientology
guy. At the same time.
I don't think it's Scientology. I don't think Scientologists believe in that. Just Scientologists believe in if you pay us enough money, we'll make you feel better.
I get the business model. I get the business model. By the way, all religions have a business model.
You know what we should
not
do?
Not just Scientology.
We should do an Beyond the Blockchain After Dark, and then I'll tell the story about how I got kicked out of the Scientology headquarters in Manhattan.
Oh, brilliant. Tell it right now.
It's an hour-long story. It's its own show. It is not built for this.
That's awesome.
But yes, I was not so politely photographed, fingerprinted, and asked to leave from Scientology headquarters.
Awesome.
Dude.
For another day.
Tom Cruise knows who you are to stay away from you.
He just knows I'm on the list.
That's great.
Yeah. Well,
forever pre-clear.
I don't even know what the heck we were going to talk about. This segment.
I thought we were going to talk about BitChat.
Tokenization.
Tokenization.
Are we going to talk about Robinhood?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, does Agent Zena have something for us on that?
She does. Yes, let's just go ahead and kick it. Let's just kick cleanse the palate.
All right.
And hear Zena talk about Robinhood.
Hey, Crypto Crew. It's Agent Zena on Beyond the Blockchain. Imagine slicing a fancy pizza so anyone can grab a piece. That's tokenization. Turning stocks and ETFs into digital tokens on the blockchain for 24/7 trading. It's like swapping Pokemon cards, but for Wall Street, with instant settlements and fractional ownership. Robinhood CEO Vladimir Tenev calls tokenization the biggest innovation in finance in a decade, opening elite assets to everyday investors. Their process? When you buy a tokenized stock or ETF, Robinhood or a licensed US broker holds the real asset, creates a blockchain token to represent it, and burns the token when you sell, ensuring dividends and benefits hit your account. Launched June 30th, 2025, their EU platform offers over 200 tokenized US stocks and ETFs on Arbitrum, with plans for Robinhood Chain. Trouble brewed when OpenAI called their OpenAI token fake, triggering an EU probe by the Bank of Lithuania. Kraken and JP Morgan are also tokenizing, showing blockchain's financial takeover. Regulators in the US and EU are like refs without a playbook, grappling with these hybrid assets. Tenev praises the EU's MiCA rules and urges the SEC for a US framework. Tokenization's a rocket for crypto fans, investors, and DeFi, making markets global and open to all. But without clear rules, it's a bumpy ride. Stay sharp, demand transparency, and watch the blockchain. This is just the start. This is Agent Zena signing off from Beyond the Blockchain.
Well, thank you, Agent Zena. I think that's interesting. Tokenization, we have talked about a number of times on the show, since the very beginning of the show. And some of what I think is interesting is the concepts we talked about 2 or 3 years ago are now starting to become reality. But I also feel like the acceleration of technology is happening so that the things we're talking about right now will happen in 6 months, not the 2 year window.
Oh yeah.
Like we talked about tokenization 2 or 3 years ago, right? We're like, this is what's going to happen. Property records, DMV records, all these things are going to be on the blockchain. Municipal budgets, you know, all this stuff. Yeah.
I thought car registration would be the first really big thing they would do, and they haven't done it yet.
And I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. But I agree with you. It's ripe for innovation. But I think that this past cycle of, let's say call the past 3 years a cycle, I think the cycles are going to continue to get shorter and shorter. We're already seeing this with AI development. Like every day, there are new tools that come out that are better than the old tools.
Well, again, they're improving themselves.
Yeah, self.
If you're doing it right, they're self-replicating their improvement. Yep. But we were enthralled as collectors with Rally Road.
Yeah.
And 2 years ago or whatever, that was this idea of taking a DeLorean that someone owns.
Or a T-Rex skull.
Or a T-Rex skull or a baseball card. Or
the Declaration of Independence.
Declaration of Independence. A copy. The official copy.
One of the original.
Official copy.
Yeah.
But this company took this real asset, created fractionalized ownership, then created proof of fractionalized ownership. And while we thought that was the coolest thing on the planet, you are now seeing it get into traditional finance and very what we think of as boring banking.
Yes.
But things don't really move forward until Wall Street figures this stuff out, and then it becomes mainstream.
Yep.
No, mainstream.
I thought
it'd be much more exotic than it is now. Do you know what I'm saying? I thought it'd be much more exotic.
I think that one of the things that people like us overestimate historically is the speed of adoption. But I think that those of us who have overestimated the speed of adoption are going to be proven right over the next 3 years.
Yeah.
I think for a long time we've overestimated it. And I think now we're actually going to be on pace.
But I mean, and I get why an industry like real estate doesn't want to make this change. It would be such a disruption to the way they do everything.
The way we've always done it is the biggest impediment to change.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we'll come back on Beyond the Blockchain and try and pick it up, make it a little lighter.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks. Welcome back into the show. Thanks for joining us. We're having fun, as always, talking about blockchain, technology, cryptocurrency, AI,
angels.
The future. Angels, maybe. Maybe some UFOs. You know, it's the last segment. You know, never know what we're going to get into.
What's passing through the solar system, you were telling us?
Oh, no. Before we jump into the solar system, Johnny, I saw something way scarier than Bigfoot.
I wouldn't be scared of Bigfoot.
Okay, here's what's way scarier than Bigfoot.
I'm just kidding. I would be petrified.
There is a theory that the reason all these people go missing in national parks is because there are feral humans who have, Chud, for generations.
You're talking about Chud.
I don't know what that is.
Chud's a movie, but it was urban.
Yeah, so urban.
It'd be urban cannibals.
Humanoid, underground.
That comes out of the sewers.
Well, these people have lived in the national.
Humanoid underground dwellers.
Dozens of generations. And so when you go missing, like, Bigfoot is the least of your concerns in a national.
Dude, that's Deliverance.
Yeah.
That's also an X-Files episode. They camouflage themselves.
I don't think they need to camouflage themselves.
No, they had chameleonic skin. I mean, they had.
Oh, well, that's
they developed a chameleon.
Yeah, but so do you. So, I mean, you know, we don't hold that against you.
Against beige walls, maybe.
Against beige walls.
Excuse me, egg white.
Egg white. Yeah.
Egg
shell,
white.
Shell.
Had you know that egg white and white are really the same color?
Probably. That's really true. These marketers and their gimmicks.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
What that is.
Valspar and somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Sherman Williams.
Oh, and a good local.
Sherwin Williams.
BLP.
Got
to give them a good mobile company out there that makes.
Is BLP a local company?
Oh, yeah. Born and bred, man.
Are they still here?
BLP? Oh, yeah.
I just assumed they were a national company.
I will tell you, industrial stuff they're huge on, and marine paint, like they are. But again, this is not a commercial for BLP because they ain't paying money for me and they ain't paying money to be on this channel. But there is this stuff they use because they make the paint for the environment down here, for how wet it is. I mean, it is so flipping wet down here. I mean, but they make a paint, outdoor paint, that I'm telling you, it's more expensive, but it is like that son of a gun is going to stay on there.
I want to get somebody from BLP on this show now. I had no idea. Well, I thought this was like a national company.
When we get off the air, I'll tell you a story about one of their past.
Fair enough.
Folks that were quite spooky. In the spooky world.
I know what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
I was like, what the heck is that guy doing here for a paint company?
Yeah. Paint? Maybe not.
Yeah.
But, you know, the world is an interesting place. And it's if we want to be open-minded about it. The world's getting more interesting by the minute.
And didn't you mention possessed AI once upon a time? Like a demonically possessed AI.
Oh, yeah. Model. Well, I mean, that's 100% going to happen. So here's what people need to understand about AI. AI is not one thing. It's just a way of using computer science to create artificial brains. There will be millions, billions.
A bunch of different models already.
Yeah, there'll be millions and there'll probably be millions of AI brains mm-hmm. that are going to be based on how they're trained. Mm-hmm. So if a sociopath trains an AI to act like right. a sociopath, that's how it's going to act.
So it's like the idea of, remember how exotic and how weird it seemed in the 90s to build a website? Like, wow, a company's got a website?
Yeah.
Like how big of a deal that was?
It was a heavy lift.
HTML.
And now anyone can have a website that looks pretty professional very quickly now.
Sure.
I think we're going to get that way with everyone will have their own LLM, their own
I think you're
AI.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you own this
your
AI thing. Yeah. Like this, you know, this storage.
Your
this,
own Jarvis.
Your own Jarvis, right.
Yep. It's yeah. It's either going to be on a wearable or your phone. It'll depend on who
so,
you
so
are.
So roughly it was the idea of like how crazy it was to believe that anyone could have a website in the 19, anybody could. Will be the same way. Instead of 30 years, it will be
three.
You have your own AI agent, and it'll be 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. Everyone will have their own AI 100%. Agent.
And you will
an
have
AI agent builder.
And you, the listener, will have to decide how much information you're willing to
right.
hand over to the AI.
Right.
Everybody will make their own decision. Some people use it full blown as a therapist. Other people will not tell it their, you know, PIN number to their ATM card.
Sure.
Profit.
There'll be
AI prophet, tell me what the future
everything.
Holds.
Look, there are going to be AI religions where
oh,
people
yeah.
are worshiping mm-hmm. some sure. AI thing.
But again, if it's giving people answers that...
And comfort.
Are comfort and advice, mm-hmm. and they're getting something from it, someone is going to be a fan of it, which comes from the word fanatic, which really falls into the word of cultist.
Sure. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a weird world, man. I have a hard time. It's going to be so different and so complex in 5 years that I feel like all the times when I try and think about what it's going to look like, I'm probably off by 80-90%, and I don't even know which percentage I'm off. I don't even know what my predictions are going to be right or wrong. I just know like a lot of this is going to be wrong, some of it's going to be right, but the part that's wrong, I'm more fearful that will be more advancement than less.
Yeah. Well, hold on.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, well, I think it's going to be more than what I could, because our brains can't, we can only conceive of what we can imagine today.
What we can model.
What we can model.
And we use analogies.
But
the
again,
human brain uses
look
analogies.
At iPhone. Even when I saw the earlier stuff of smartphones from wireless, I never imagined. This was 2001, 2002, Nokia. I saw some of this prototype stuff that was super crazy, and I quite didn't understand it back then. Thought I did. But then what iPhone becomes by 2006 or 7, I couldn't imagine that. I could not even imagine that. I couldn't imagine people would watch TV and movies on their phone in 2009.
Yep.
Like, why would they do that?
Right.
And now I'm like, well, that's how you watch. That's crazy.
Trying to explain to a teenager that you used to have to print off driving directions on MapQuest.
Oh, yeah, MapQuest.
Then try and convince the teenager that before that, you actually just had a giant
yes.
atlas in the car, and you would pull over on the side of the road
yes.
and try and figure it out.
Yes.
I had a...
And that is only 30 years of technology?
I had a friend tell me that she had a young daughter who was at their grandparents' house this weekend. And they still have a land phone.
Yeah, landline.
And the kids did not know what that thing was ringing.
Why do we have making, this big curly
making
cord?
That noise. They did not know that was a phone.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's no different than like you see videos where it's like ask a teenager to hang up a phone.
Yeah.
And they push the button in their hand, right? They don't
yeah.
do the phone to the ear like we do.
Right.
Or you say roll down a window. They just stick their finger down like they're pushing the button. Not like anybody our age, if you say... Mimic rolling down a window. You're yeah. going to do the
circular
yeah. roller
your
motion
hand.
From the window you used to know. These kids don't know that. Roll down the window. Push the button.
You already sound like an old man. Back in my day.
I don't even mean to be.
Yeah.
It's just the way.
Hey, I'm going to be still driving a car. So how un-2025 is that I still want to touch the driving with the steering wheel?
You're only going to get to drive your car until the government tells you you're not safe enough to do it anymore.
You're right.
On the next show, we'll talk more about that and Beyond the Blockchain.